On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning, came a new smile.
Tuesday. Girl in the cut, she Tuesday.
Sun comes up, it's Tuesday morning.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh boy.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
It doesn't get more exciting than this. Yeah, it does. Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am part of the equation. Thanks for being here. Sit down, relax. I'll take it from here for the next half hour. Then you go do your thing. But right now, just sit down and shut up. I mean, I didn't mean to say shut up. Please be quiet a lot. Oh boy. Boy, I don't know who Taylor Swift is. Actually, I do, but I don't know any of her music. If there was a song playing, a Taylor Swift song, I wouldn't know. I have no interest in her whatsoever. From what I understand by the reaction of many peoples, she's quite talented and quite popular. But other than that, I don't see it. Anyway, the reason I bring her up is that apparently whoever she dates and when she goes to a football game, people are intrinsically interested. This scares me a bit because it's a little too focused. Also, that focus should be on me, not her. Apparently, Taylor Swift writes about ex-boyfriends, so I suggest that if you have an opportunity to date Taylor Swift, I would back off a little bit from that public exposure. I believe, from what I hear, she's dating an NFL pro football player, and everybody's talking about it. I'm not talking about it. Oh my God, I am talking about it. Oh my God, oh my God. All right, that's enough. That's enough theme music. By the way, theme music composed, performed by Jason Shaw. Opening, closing themes, incidental music, incidentally, Jason Shaw, ladies and gentlemen. John Shanahan, our announcer, comedian, writer, comedy writer. He's incredible. Google him. You'll find him all over the place. The Hypnagogue podcast as well. There's a link on newenglandbroadcasting.com. And then there's Nicole Reed, who books many of the national interviews, one of which coming up later this week with Cassidy Hutchinson. She testified to January 6th hearings, and quite an amazing story. She's written a book. She'll be with us toward the end of the week this week. And that's my story, man. I mean, I got nothing else. Okay. I'm not a Swiftie. I'm not a Swiftie. I'm fast, but I'm not a Swiftie. Yeah, I'm still talking about the Taylor Swift thing. There's big controversy with her concert tickets and things like that getting all fucked up. And I mean, she's just like the center of the universe right now. I mean, you know, in a very stupidly trivial manner, but still, yes. Just yes, still yes. Starting, I think, October 15th, I believe. I don't know my dates. I haven't had a date in a long time. I believe that Taylor is doing something quite different. Many movie theaters across the country are going to be showing a Taylor Swift concert that lasts, I think it's 2 hours and 2 3/4 hours, 2 hours and 45 minutes. And it's on the big screen in your movie theater. It's probably in every movie theater near you. I believe it's $22 or $23 to see that. You sit in the movie theater seat and you make believe you're at a concert. And, you know, nice concept. And she's going to make a lot of money doing this, I assume. The question that I had to myself, as I speak to myself constantly, but not out loud, in my head I have conversations with myself. Like, well, let's see, what are you going to do today, Ron? But I don't say it out loud, because then I'd be, like, stupid and scary. So I say it to myself. But I say to myself, should I actually get a ticket through the movie? I don't even think you get it through the movie theater. I think you have to get it online or something. I don't know. Do I want to sit there and watch Taylor Swift perform for nearly 3 hours? I don't know her music. But then, you know, and you're probably even saying to me, Ron, you don't know any Taylor Swift songs? Are you kidding me? I know. I get it. Should I educate myself and listen to this concert and go to the movie theater and sit there with all the other people? That's a problem too, sitting there with all the other people. Although it's better than, are they going to stand up and dance in the movie theater? Are they going to do that like they do at concerts? Oh my God, I don't even know. I'm not spending $22 for some kid to stand up in front of me and start dancing for 3 hours. No, I'm not paying for that. But I am curious. I'm curious. Could this be the start of concerts in movie theaters? And well, they should be, because I'll tell you something, kids of all ages, going to a Taylor Swift concert or any concert by any type of popular performer is running in the area anywhere from $200 to $1,000 a seat. What? What? Are you kidding me? I mean, come on. For example, Jerry Seinfeld, comedian. He's a comedian. He stands up on stage and says funny things. I mean, like, I used to do that. Not for that kind of money, but yeah. I mean, he commands like $500, $600 a seat. And that's just general easy seats. You want to sit up close, you gotta second mortgage your home. For a comedian to stand on stage. Talk about inflation, man. I mean, on the flip side, I get kind of annoyed. Ron, you get kind of annoyed? I never heard you annoyed before. I know. Don't even say it. I get kind of annoyed about culture costing so much money. If a child wants to see a concert, a symphony, and children don't want to see that, or a ballet, or they want to go to a Broadway show, it's like very, very expensive. So now what we're doing is, and we're saying that we're going to give culture to people that have money. Those people that don't have much money and are just trying to pay the utility bill on a monthly basis and maybe get some food, they're not going to be exposed to culture at all. See, that's not right. That's just not right. But how do you expose all these people to culture? Well, if you want to see a Taylor Swift concert, and if you love Taylor Swift, you should be able to see her perform. I mean, this is America. I don't know. I don't know if it's in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights or anything like that, but I mean, you should be able to have some culture in your life. So going to the movie theater and seeing Taylor Swift perform a full concert for $22, I guess, is not a bad deal, I suppose. I don't know. It's still a lot of money for a lot of people, but it's nowhere near the $700 to sit in a concert hall where you can't even see the bitch. I mean Taylor. You can't even see her. She's like 2 miles away on a little stage. And people are standing up dancing in front of you, and you just you paid $800 to have somebody's ass in your face waving back and forth for 2 hours. Yeah, you know, okay, that's not working out. So I think I'm going to go. Do you want to go with me? Do you want to go with me to see the Taylor Swift concert? I don't want to go with you. Let's just keep our relationship like this, okay? Where I just talk and you sit down and then you leave in half an hour. I think that's better. I think it's healthier for all of us. I was having a conversation last night with my lovely female, and we were talking about the internet. We were talking about Facebook specifically, but all the other things too: Snapchat, UChat, iChat, Snapchat. All the other things, Facebook and Snapchat, and you know the others as well. I'm getting a little sick of people. Oh, that should be the end of the sentence. I'm getting a little sick of people who spend almost all of their time online. Posting things that they believe everybody should care about, but nobody does. And here's the phony part about Facebook specifically. And admit this to me, please. 90% of all the posts that you get on your little Facebook thing from quote-unquote Facebook friends, they're bothersome, they're like trivial, who the fuck cares? And yet you press that like button. And see, what you're doing is you're enabling these people who send you 50 posts a day. This is a picture of my tuna fish sandwich at lunch. Here's a picture of me and my daughter standing in front of a tree. I mean, great for you. I get the significance of all of that for you. But you must understand that everybody that's seeing your post doesn't give you know what, but yet they press the like button. Oh, that's nice. I like that. You don't like it. You find it annoying. Where's the annoying button? I don't know. Wait a minute now. If you're listening to this show on some type of device that has that like button, do press it for me, because I know you really, really like me. But I mean, if I'm going to send you a picture of my tuna fish lunch yesterday, you're going to be annoyed. And you shouldn't say, oh, look, Ron had a tuna fish sandwich yesterday. I like that. No, you don't. You shouldn't like that. It's stupid. What I'm saying is, stop enabling these people that post everything that they do and think that it should be intrinsically interesting to the entire world. Don't enable them by liking it. Just leave it alone. Let their posts just die with them online. Maybe they'll become a bit more selective in the images and sayings that they impose upon us on a daily basis. That's all I'm saying. And by the way, if you're one of those people that does that, that just loves to post things on Facebook no matter what it is, because this is my life and everybody is probably incredibly interested in my life and everything that I do. If that's the case, then we've got to stop this immediately. Ron, it's harmless. It's harmless fun. Block the people if you don't want. I don't like to block people. Blocking people is not nice. But please, you know, let's have some decorum. If we could, please. Facebook just pisses me off. I mean, again, I do this show, so I have to make it available, promote it. It's what you're supposed to do. So I do it. This has nothing to do with me. If you're sending me a picture of your tuna fish sandwich, you don't have a tuna fish sandwich show. I know you don't. Nobody does. Your daughter's a lovely person. Standing next to you in front of a tree, I've never seen that before. Two people closely related standing in front of a tree. I've never seen that before. What an innovative type of picture to take. We went pumpkin picking yesterday at a nearby place near my house. Here's a picture of me holding a pumpkin. I want everybody to see it. Isn't it incredible? Look at me standing there with a pumpkin. Who does that? Especially around October. Who does that? I do. It's a picture of me with my pumpkin that I picked up off the ground. This is it. Look at it. Look at it. Look at me with the pumpkin. Look at it. Now, do you like me standing there with the pumpkin? Oh, we do. We do. We love that. We love that. Oh, my God. You're standing with a pumpkin. Oh, look. Joe, come over here. Mandy's standing in a field with a pumpkin. You've got to see this. Look at this. I love this. I like it. Look at Mandy. She's so happy with that pumpkin. Do you see her? Joe, can you see her with the pumpkin? Yeah. Take your fingers and make it larger. That's right. Oh, look at that. I hope there's more in the series. I hope she sends us many more pictures of her standing in a field with a pumpkin. Maybe she can change it up and have a picture of her standing in the field with a zucchini. That would be incredible. Joe, come here. Look, she's standing in the field with a zucchini now. Look at her. Look, oh, my God, it's so beautiful. I think I'm going to cry. Look at that zucchini. Oh, my God.
Are you the sort of person who feels vicarious excitement at the prospect of a robust discount? Then you need to pay us a visit at Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values. Each and every day, our standard pricing model is an absolute affront to common retailing practices and could indeed be seen as an indication of mental instability. Consider, if you will, a 24-pack of your favorite coffee pods, if one happens to drink such a thing, a mere $2.99. Is that sensible in the least? No, I tell you, it is not. And what of this? Common t-shirts with witty sayings upon them, suitable for men, women, and children, depending upon how you've raised them, 10 for $6. This is uncanny pricing that quite simply flies in the face of all possible reason, and the only explanation for this behavior on my part is that I am not sane. Frankly, do not take my word for it. Instead, find your way here to Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values, just off the motorway and beyond the roundabout, where our everyday retailing decisions are simply unnatural.
Brandy Britton joins us now. She's a career and workplace expert for Global Talent Solutions and Business Consulting from Robert Half. And they're going to let you know where things stand as far as salaries are concerned. Thanks for being with us, Brandy.
Well, thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
You know, we've in the news, certainly with the actors' strike, the writers' strike, and than the auto workers. There are many reasons that that happens, but there's always built in trying to bring your salary up to inflation. And I guess that there's a good percentage of workers who are in that boat right now.
There is. In fact, the three salary trends, or the three trends that we see this year and moving into next year, is number one is salary. 63% of workers plan to ask for a raise before the end of this year. Second is flexibility. Mm-hmm. Workers want to say and when, where, and how they work. And then lastly is inflation. Inflation is what's driving workers to ask for raises, but it's a two-way street, and that it's impacting employers just as much.
Yeah, which is going to impact consumers because the prices have to be paid somewhere, and that's unfortunate for all of us. But I guess if you had a higher salary, you could afford. It's kind of like a big circle. It's a problem, and it's always been a problem through everybody's career as long as they were alive. Like, when's the best time to ask for a salary increase? How do you do that without appearing like at the bottom of the list now because you're annoying?
Well, first you want to make sure that your company is doing well financially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Second, then you want to do some research, make sure where your salary is, utilize resources like our Robert Half salary guide to make sure what you're asking for is on par with what that position pays. And then request a meeting with your manager. If you've got a good ROI on your contributions to the organization, you should just go for it.
Yeah, especially if everybody else is probably doing the same thing and you're not, I guess. Tell me about the Robert Half Salary Guide. A lot of people aren't familiar with that.
Absolutely. Well, our salary guide has a salary trend. Depending on location, you can look at what the percentage increase is for your geography. It has tips for employees and job seekers on how to find a job or how to ask for a raise. It also has tips for employers on how to attract and make sure that they secure the talent when they need to hire.
Mm-hmm. What's the best time to ask? Is there a timing involved? Would it be the beginning of the day, the end of the day, at the bar after they've had a few drinks? I mean, what's ideal here?
Well, the best time is when you have done your research on the front end. Mm-hmm. That's first and foremost. And then when you ask for the meeting with your manager, it's really important to let your manager know that you're going to be wanting to talk about your compensation. And then it's really advantageous to prepare in advance. So practice for that meeting with one of your friends so that you go into it as confident as possible. And then if for some reason you don't get the raise that you wanted, reflect on the things that are most important to you. Mm-hmm. Maybe flexibility is something that you can ask for in lieu of compensation.
Yeah, I would assume that most managers or supervisors would go that route. I've heard of that being more popular than giving an employee more money, because it doesn't cost them anything to do that, really. And the next guy's going to be working to fill your job anyway. So is that okay that they do offer compensations as opposed to financial compensations?
Absolutely. So flexibility, workers want a say in when and where and how they work.
Yeah.
In fact, we found that nearly two-thirds would decline a position that paid them more if the position that they had offered them flexibility. And what I mean by flexibility is a hybrid schedule, in that they can spend more time with their friends, their family, and just have a better overall work-life balance.
Yeah. I think the auto workers are going for a four-day work week, and that scares me a little bit, because that's going to be weird. I mean, that's not something we've done before in this country. Is that a thing these days?
It certainly is. In fact, we definitely see companies who can't always compete with salary. They utilize the flexibility or the hybrid schedule as a great equalizer to compete with companies that are maybe offering higher salaries.
Yeah.
So you might see anything from a 4-day work week to just being able to work remotely a couple days a week.
It doesn't pay, I guess, to say the supervisor, well, having a day off isn't going to pay the bills. But that is kind of where it's at, right?
Well, the flexibility, you still need to get your work done.
Yeah.
And so that's first and foremost.
Yeah. So now you got to do it in a shorter amount of time. Okay. Are there any kind words you can give to the supervisor or to the company to kind of lather it up a little bit?
Absolutely. So we recommend for employers that when you find the one, the person that you want to hire, you want to be really quick with that offer.
Yeah.
You also want to be creative with the offer. So remembering that hybrid component is really important. And then being transparent, we see that when you post your salary range in the job description, you're more likely to attract more job seekers as well as higher quality job seekers. Mm-hmm. And employees really do appreciate it.
It's kind of interesting because employers are crying about not being able to fill positions because they can't find the people to do it. And yet the staff has to grovel for, they're already there, they already know the deal, yet they have to grovel for an increase. It kind of doesn't make sense, though, that, you know, why would you want an employee to leave you because you're not paying them enough when you claim you can't get employees to work for you? It's kind of weird.
Well, the shortage of talent really is something to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
And employers are definitely going to have to look at compensation and make some changes to attract as well as retain their talent, for sure.
Yeah. And you say the percentage is pretty high of people that are just chomping at the bit to ask for a raise, but kind of waiting for the right time.
Our study showed that 63% of workers plan to ask for a raise before the end of this year.
Okay. All right. If someone needed some more tips or some more information, how do they find out?
Absolutely. We recommend for job seekers and employers to take a look at our website at roberthalf.com.
I guess it's never a good idea to threaten your employer by saying, well, you know, if I can't move ahead here, I'm going to have to start looking somewhere else. Bad idea, good idea?
Well, first, if you want to think about, do I like this position?
Yeah.
If you like the position, then you should ask for a raise before utilizing another offer to motivate your employer to increase your compensation.
There is a lot of value to not minding going to work on them. It's, you know, it's a Monday and you don't mind going to work. You kind of look forward to it. That's a good thing. I mean, that's some value there too, isn't it?
There is value because the grass isn't always greener on the other side, but certainly you should be paid for your work and utilizing resources like our salary guide to make sure that you're being paid competitively is always a healthy exercise to go through.
That's the bottom line. There's also a psychology where people actually think that they're only worth what they're paid. In other words, you know, if I'm not making much money, so therefore I'm not successful, I'm not valuable. That's the psychology too, isn't it?
Well, certainly. I think workers today want to feel fulfilled.
Yeah.
And again, it comes back to reflecting on those things that are most important to you. Sometimes it's not always compensation. It's about being satisfied in the role. And so really thinking about what is most important to you. And if it's compensation, then you got to ask for that raise or consider other opportunities that will make you happy.
There you go. It's roberthalf.com, just like it sounds, Robert, H-A-L-F.com, and go there for some advice and do what you should be doing, probably. Brandy, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you very much. All right, that'll do it for me today. Thank you to my guest, and thank you to you for stopping by. Hey, I have an idea. why don't you do this again tomorrow? Come by again tomorrow. It'll be a brand new show. We do this every weekday. Oh, my God. What are you, crazy? I know. I am. Yeah. Uh-huh. Tomorrow, write it down. Will you do that? Good. I'll see you then. Thank you to my guests. Thank you to you. I'll be back again. Till then, I wish you peace.